get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I am Pete.
I'm Molly.
And this is a podcast where Molly and I break down a Hallmark Christmas movie. And today we are going to break down the brand new for 2018 Hallmark movie, Christmas at Graceland. Did you notice I said Graceland?
Instead of Graceland?
Yeah.
Graceland. I have to preface this, though, by saying that I have a very Hallmark movie problem today. I'm tired because I stayed up late getting ready for a Christmas festival this weekend.
Yes, you did.
So this weekend
so
we're doing a craft fair. When we're recording this, we're doing a craft fair this weekend. And yeah, I stayed up too late packing up boxes of Christmas cards.
We've seen this before. Hopefully this will end just as most Hallmark movies do, with a kiss at the end
and by the tree
and some sort of success.
Yeah.
So what happens in Christmas at Graceland?
A lot of bad acting is what happens. So we went over our rules in the last episode, and now I'm questioning those rules. I've had multiple people request that we do Shoe Addicts Christmas. Mm-hmm. It keeps coming up. It's really bad. I sort of watched it. I watched parts of it. And it's a Candace Cameron Bure one. It has like Jean Smart wearing a weird wig. It has Luke McFarlane from Christmasland with new teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like questioning, right. Like we went by the rules for this one, and this one is a doozy. It's just bad. It's in that category of just bad. And I've heard that some Lifetime movies are good, so I don't know what to do.
You want to bring in Candace Cameron Bure?
This one was bad enough that it's just really making me question everything right now.
I don't like the special event type of Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah, where it's like different than the rest, where there's something special about it.
I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Other than it stars a couple of, Kelly Pickler, who's famous.
Yeah.
Now, is the guy...
She's like A-list for Hallmark movies.
Yeah, yeah. She's a good get. Now, is the other guy famous?
He's just a guy that's in a lot of stuff. He's been in other Hallmark movies. His name is Wes Brown. He's been in a bunch of, like... He's always, like, a soldier and stuff.
Oh,
and
so he's not a singer.
Maybe he is. I was just looking up, like, what other things he's in. But maybe he's a singer, too. You know, we'll get to this, but they play, like, a duo. And they play the piano, but, like, they never show their hands playing the piano,
right.
And everything is like lip synced and recorded beforehand. So who knows what the talent level is being manipulated
Kelly
here?
Can sing.
Yeah, but I mean, he could have been lip syncing to somebody else.
I'm not sure.
And I watched another one, Reunited at Christmas this weekend. It was very like basic, and I enjoyed it so much. And when just watching this was such a slog. So if you haven't watched this one yet, just listen to this podcast, and this is a warning. Don't, don't. I mean, maybe like if it's on, watch 10 minutes to see how bad
the acting
is. Or if
you're a super Kelly Pickler fan.
Or if you're really excited to see the exterior of a hotel a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But I can't recommend this one.
Or if you like Elvis, there's an Elvis soundtrack to this one.
I think
one.
If you like Elvis, stay away.
Oh.
It's a disservice to Elvis.
So how does it start?
All right. So Kelly Pickler is a singer turned banker living in Chicago. And the B-roll is Chicago, and they must have filmed it 2017 because it was the Chris Kendall Market at Wrigley, and that wasn't the first year they've done that. So that was part of it.
The holiday train they showed, the CT holiday train. So that was, it was well done production value.
It looked real until we pan on the building where she works.
The Chicago Financial Corporation.
That's it. There's a big, after the big Trump sign on the Trump building here, there was a hubbub about like how big your signs can be in your building, and it just came up with today that a company wants to put their name really big on the side of the building, and they had to get like a special exception. Apparently the Chicago Financial Corporation did as well, because it's
huge.
And so we see her in like her cubicle. She's juggling presentations and presents, and she has a very heavy Southern accent. Now, I mean, I know Kelly Pickler from American Idol. I think I liked Kelly Pickler on American Idol. Was her accent, is she putting on an accent here, or is her accent always that? Is she playing it up?
I remember her most from a stint during a Cubs game where she sang the seventh inning stretch, and she talked in between, in the innings doing the the interview, which is hilarious. And I do remember her
having
like
a cute
aw
shucksness feel to her.
Yeah, she had a pretty thick accent.
It's thick. And lots of everyone, when they go to Memphis, lots of dropped G's. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's just... I mean, I feel like Hallmark Channel made a list of things they wanted to accomplish this year. And one was, let's cover the South and make a very Southern Christmas movie. So maybe I'm from Texas, but I'm not from the South. Like, that's not the South. Like,
you always make that distinction that you're from Texas when the people roll their eyes.
I'm not saying there's something wrong with
being West Texas.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being from the South. I have family in the South. Yeah. There's beautiful parts of the South, but I just don't know if I have an appreciation for all of this as much as I should. Maybe that's like what's missing is that, yeah, I don't connect with this.
I don't think we've ever mentioned this on this podcast, but your mom has an accent, still a Southern accent.
Yeah.
Is it a Southern accent, a Texas accent?
Texas accent, yeah.
And
West Texas accent.
Like, what happens when...
She's with her, like, sisters. Oh. It, like, really comes out, so...
Or what the... You go shopping and somebody would comment.
Oh, yeah. They say, oh, are you visiting here? Because my parents live here, and they're like, are you visiting? Where are you from? She says, oh, I'm from Evanston, which is just north of the city. But it definitely gets stronger when she's with other Texans.
Around other people.
Yeah.
So she's in Chicago and she's working. There's a moment there where she says it's after 5 and she's got to leave to go get her... I think she has to leave to pick up her kid or see her kid do some sort of event. But it's, you know, it was super bright out. It was like 11 in the morning. I was like, you got to at least make it dark.
Yeah.
If it's at 5:30.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the other thing like about Kelly Pickler, yeah, like she's got that aw shucksness, but she's cute too. And it's like they put old lady makeup, like it's like they made her up to look like an old. Did you notice that? Like,
yeah.
Like around her eyes and like around her mouth, they've made her look so old.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like they put an old lady mask on her. And there was like a commercial during this to show, I mean, it didn't do it any service because it was about, watch the video of the studio session of Kelly Pickler recording all the original music for this. So yeah, you know, like it's all lip synced and fake. But she looks really cute and like natural. And she just, I mean, I guess they're trying to make her look like corporate and professional, but she just looks like, she looks like it's like bad drag queen makeup. It's like really heavy, really contoured. It was not.
And you're right. I think it might be trying to show her as a Chicago business person.
And her boss comes in and he kind of has like, not to bring up Donald Trump again, but he sort of has Trumpish hair.
Yeah, it's orange.
Yeah, orange and like sort of swooped.
Yeah, yeah. Too. I thought the same thing.
And he is just, you know, he's straight out of the Hallmark movie Boss playbook where he's putting lots of demands on her and wants her to work through Christmas and all of these things. But he's sending her to Memphis because they are doing a merger and an acquisition. It's not an acquisition of a bank in Memphis, and so she's going to go there and make the presentation to them.
And the boss wants to send her there because she's from Memphis, and you know, he believes she could use her Southern charm to charm the Memphis bank.
Mm-hmm. And there's lots of photos of her daughter on her desk, so yeah, we know that that's a thing too. So he wants to go over everything with her so she can't leave to get her daughter, and this seems to be like a common thing. So she's heading home after this, having to stay late at work, and the nanny is still there, and she goes to her condo, and her daughter's like already in bed, and seems like she's asleep, but she's still awake, and they are talking about that they're going to go to Memphis the next day and spend Christmas there. We also see, like, before they leave, they look through, we see a photo of young Laurel, is Kelly Pickler's name.
Like, Laurel Cooper?
Yeah, Laurel Cooper. And I was like, that's not a Christmassy name. Like, oh, wait, but like Laurel Wreath, is that?
Oh, yeah, I didn't make the connection.
Like a greenery name.
Mm-hmm. What about Clay Shepherd? Is
that name? Shepherd.
Oh, Shepherd, yeah.
Yeah, they sneak it in. But they're not going to get one past us. So it's like a picture of Laurel with her parents in front of Graceland.
It'll be exciting to take you to Graceland.
Yeah.
Because my parents used to take me to Graceland when I was a kid.
It's her daughter.
And she loves Christmas.
First time in Memphis. Yeah. Okay. And it's also while they're getting ready to leave, it comes out that Laurel's daughter is kind of scared of things. There was like a Christmas pageant that she wanted to audition for to sing, but she was too scared to like sing in front of everybody. And so, you know, it's mentioned that like she has trouble making friends, and we know that about her, her daughter. So they make it to Memphis, and they're heading towards Laurel's childhood friend's house, Sally. And we find out that her dad has moved away to Florida or Arizona, somewhere warm, and the mother has passed away. So she doesn't have any family there anymore. And so they go to Sally's house, and it's like really decorated for Christmas, like everywhere, inside and out, and they're super into Christmas crafts
too. Yeah, they are.
You know, they're all meeting, and Sally's daughter, who's a little bit older, Emma is Laurel's daughter. Comes out, and she's made like a snowman, snow globe, something like homemade. Like they're always doing crafts, a lot of crafts.
When they go to Sally's house, for some reason, I thought they were staying at Sally's house.
They should have. It was like huge. It was just like, it was just Sally's daughter and the husband that disappears all the whole movie after we meet him. And then we see him again at the very end, but he's gone the whole, we never see him. It's totally, they always do this, they like can cut an actor by, maybe he has a line or two, but
nothing that sticks out.
The husbands,
for sure.
They don't need to spend much money on that.
I mean, I know Sally was going to watch Emma
while Laurel has meetings
doing,
and work.
Meetings and such. But as you pointed out earlier, there's a lot of hotel business in this. And I was like, why aren't they just staying at Sally's
house? Well, I guess the bank is probably, Laurel's work is putting them up.
Why not just stay in the hotel?
Yeah. So this house has like a big yard, and Sally talks about like, well, you don't have a yard, and you know, you didn't find a house in the suburbs in Chicago. Like there's a lot of talk about like
she just lives
having
in a condo.
Yards. Like, oh, poor Laurel just lives in a gross condo in Chicago. Like, come move here where you can have a yard, or move to the suburbs. Like there's not a lot of like understanding of other people's lives and decisions and situations. Like there's one way that you live your life.
We live in the city and we have a yard.
Yeah, it's possible.
You can do it.
Or you could be fine to not have a yard.
I lived most of my life not having a yard, but I didn't have a 10 or 8-year old daughter either, though. So
yeah, but if you want to live in if you want to live in the city, that's the trade-off. You get there's other benefits to it. And Sally's a graphic designer, and she has a bunch of posters that she had designed for Laurel and this guy Clay, who were this singing duo. And so she's totally like such a groupie for them.
She was a huge fan.
Like she made all these posters. I don't think she was even, I think she just made these posters for herself.
Yeah, it seemed like Laurel was shocked at the amount of
they
art.
Were all hanging, all these posters of her hanging in this person's kitchen. Creepy.
I didn't even know you did any of these.
It's a bit single white female. And everything is just so over the top Southern. And so they head to Sally and Sally's daughter and Laurel and Emma go to Graceland and look at the Christmas decorations and take photos. And while they're doing this, they bump into, literally, Laurel bumps into Clay.
They hit each other in the back as they were like backing up to take the photos.
Yeah. They don't even act that shocked to see each other.
Yeah.
Really.
It has been
10 years
since they've seen each other.
Yeah. So they were, we find out that they performed together, and they were on the verge of a record contract. They were not really sure what happened but we know that like they had one, 10 years ago, they had one final concert that went bad. So Laurel's introducing Clay to Emma, and Emma looks very uncomfortable with it, which is a little weird. I mean, we know she's shy, but she looks like super uncomfortable with it. And we find out that Clay still lives in Memphis, and he's a concert promoter. So they walk around Graceland and they catch up with each other. So we find out that she's single. She says like Emma's father isn't in the picture anymore, and they talk about how their last show was bad.
Clay is married to his job.
He is promoting a concert at Graceland on Christmas Eve or something like that. And you know, it's a lot of work juggling all the artists. It's a lot of stress, but he offers to, and she, you know, she says she's there for work and there's a lot going on, but he offers to give them, to get them into Graceland for a tour the next morning early before they all have to do things. So they're going to meet up at 8:00 in the morning for this tour. So they head over to their hotel. I mean, this whole movie is just an ad for the Graceland Inn, right? I meant to look that up if it's a real
hotel.
The Graceland Guest House. I'm sorry, the Graceland Guest House. Like, I kind of like Graceland. It's sort of like, it's like sort of restrained, gaudy. I mean, there's things that are like really gaudy about it, but it's not like super crazy over the top. And it's old. It's charming. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit shabby. And the guest house is just like, it's so synthetic looking or something. Like, mm-hmm. it's devoid of charm. Mm-hmm. And they just keep showing these shots of the circle drive going
right,
in.
The outside of the front.
The outside with like lights shining on it at night, like all these columns. Just, they show it over and over and over again. And yeah, it's not like it's like a cute, in other movies, maybe they're staying at like a Swiss chalet or like a ski lodge, or they're staying in a cool like old house. No,
not with this one.
This is just like a brochure for
hotel that was built in 2013.
I really want to know. We've seen you know, the close-up of the big Folgers can. We've definitely, and like Hallmark fits in to this
Balsam
too.
Balsam Hill. I think this was presented by Balsam Hill, actually. this movie.
But the Graceland Guest House had to pay, like, or the city of Memphis. They talked, in like one of the commercials during it too, they talked about how this is the first movie ever filmed at Graceland, or the first Hallmark movie ever filmed at Graceland. It was the first something ever filmed at, like, this is the first time they've opened it up to this kind of thing. So, yeah, this is just like an ad for come to Memphis and stay at the.
Did it work on you?
I would go to Memphis, but I'm not staying at that weird hotel. And they come in, they walk in and meet the very overenthusiastic concierge.
Yeah, I thought that concierge was super extra.
Yeah. She's just like, I'm here for anything you need. And she shows them to their suite, which is like crazy. It has like a living room with a big piano, and then they each have their own bedroom. And it's, of course, it's decorated inside for Christmas.
Oddly enough, it has a piano in the, do most hotels, even the fancy ones, have a piano in them?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Or did it just happen to work out since
Or it's like, that's the piano suite or something, maybe.
Could be.
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's Memphis. There's a lot of music history in the city, so perhaps there are hotels with pianos.
Yeah. And so they're in their suite and like getting ready for bed. Then there's a knock at the door, and Emma thinks it's Cookies, but it's a guitar was delivered to them.
Clay sent them a guitar.
So Clay's really trying to get Laurel to sing again and perform. He just can't understand that like someone with so much talent would be a banker.
We see Laurel choose. She had her computer open, you know, getting ready for her big meeting with the bank. But then she kind of looks longingly at the guitar.
Yeah. So she sings just a little bit for Emma. And with the guitar, there's a card. And it's a Hallmark card. Like, again, they just like hold, like they've done this before. They hold the camera on the card for many beats.
Yeah.
And she like takes her time opening it. It's like a 3D card and takes her time opening it. And then the next commercial break, there was an ad for that card. Paper Wonder cards from Hallmark. Again, they're not getting one past us. We're on to these Hallmark people.
But we see that Laurel, she hasn't given up totally.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to like
convince her to get back or back into singing.
Yeah. So the next morning they're getting ready. They're supposed to meet Clay in the lobby to go to Graceland, and he calls and he's not there because some problems are starting to happen with his concert. One of the artists is pulled out. There's a threat of a winter storm. Somebody's stuck
in Denver.
So he's got to take care of this, and he talks about that act dropping out.
Wonder who might fill that spot.
But so he asks if he can push the tour back to the evening instead. And so you can tell she's like, are you letting, you know, you're not just letting me down, you're letting Emma down too. But she agrees to it. So she heads off. Emma goes to do crafts at Sally's house. And she goes to the bank to meet with the president of the bank
CEO, owner.
Do banks have owners? I don't know if the guy whose bank it is. And
William
Franklin was his last name.
I meant to look it up because he also is a really horrible actor. And I was thinking, is this guy a real banker? I was thinking maybe he's a real banker from Memphis because he certainly can act.
I kind of felt like the acting is so bad in this. Kelly Pickler is such, I feel bad for her. She's such a bad actress. It's so bad. Like every line she ends like sing-songy
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of.
I like her, though. She's likable.
She's
and
cute and charming, but yeah. She cannot deliver a line, though.
No.
She just needs to be, like, a singer and a personality.
Hallmark, you know, of 20 years too late, they're like, man, I think country music is taking off in 2018, you know? And they're like, let's try to do a movie with a country star. And who can we pick? Let's go Kelly Pickler.
Well, they've had Leanne Rimes,
yeah, too. Leanne Rimes has been in.
Yeah. She's a better actress, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah. But
maybe
I think
more
Kelly,
experience.
I mean, I like Kelly Pickler, and I think that she would be... She'll eventually grow if she continues to do these Hallmark movies. But I wanted to...
You're going to only hope.
I wanted to like her.
Oh, it's just... It's really bad.
Yeah.
So she walks into the bank, and there's a man putting up decorations, of course, on December 22nd or whatever day it is. And, of course, they're artificial garland. And it, like, kind of drops in her face, and she helps him, and... She, you know, she's like, can you put me out to where I can find Mr. Franklin, sir? And, well, you're in the right place. And it's him.
Yeah, the owner of the bank is putting up the decorations.
And
so you know that he's folksy and
yeah.
This is the family place. Mm-hmm. It's not.
He's not afraid to get his hands dirty.
Right. It's not an uptight Chicago go-go.
Yep. Yeah.
Bank CEO.
So he talks about how, like, the cypress tree is their, like, logo, and it's because of some boring story about his grandfather planting a tree, something. And I'm like, the tree, you're putting up garland because of the tree, but the garland's plastic? What? Come on. So they start to walk, like, back to his office, and he, you know, she's like, oh, you're giving away snowman piggy banks for Christmas. And yeah, he is, and he offers, he's like, do you have a daughter or a child? And so she gets one for her daughter, and he likes that she's local, and there's a lot of talk about barbecue. I mean, I think, yeah, same thing. Like, I think it's like these things that, like, if you were in Memphis, you'd be like, oh, they got that just right. She keeps talking about, like, slaw on the side. Like, what does this mean? Oh, yeah, I know what that means, but I don't appreciate this. But I do, though, so I will say, being from Texas, that, like, how you feel about certain barbecue and how you order is important. So that was, like, a test that she had to pass. So they talk about the acquisition and the paperwork, and he's, you know, gone over it, but he's concerned that there's going to be jobs are going to be cut and branches are going to be closed. And the most important thing to him are the people who work there.
Right.
And yeah, they seem very, like, it's brought up later that one thing that could solve their problems would be to offer mobile banking
for millennials.
So this is like the savings and loan and It's a Wonderful Life. I'm like, everything's just written in, like, a hand ledger. Uncle Billy's got the strings around his
fingers.
Yeah. So he says he'll look over it, and he invites her over the paperwork, and, like, they don't meet for very long.
It's kind of a basic introduction.
Yeah. And he invites her to their, like, the next day they're having at his house, which is also the bank headquarters, which that seems, like, problematic to me. Like, the SEC, whatever, the SEC, is that the...
Is that in charge of it?
Whatever. The banking regulators.
Yeah. Securities and Exchange Commission.
Whatever problem with him running a bank out of his house. But...
I think that was a folksy thing, though, too. I think there is probably another, but that's, you know, he was saying,
like, it's okay to come to my house.
Yeah.
So he invites her over to, like, he's having a Christmas party for all of his employees, and so she can meet people, and that they're going to do a little gift exchange, too.
I found that weird, too, the fact that, okay, so you have the family type of bank in Memphis, and then you have the Chicago person coming down to meet about a possible merger, which in a lot of cases means job insecurity.
Yeah.
But hey, let's invite her to the Christmas
party. Let's bring the enemy in.
I would. All the people at the Memphis company were like, who is this Chicago? Why is she here? Is it known throughout the company that they're thinking about merging with this Chicago company, and jobs might be in jeopardy?
And, like, were they... How did this all start? Like, did this big bank just come in? And if he doesn't want to do it, why did he even, like, entertain it to begin with, I guess? And her boss keeps checking in throughout the movie. Her boss checks in, and he just knows that this is going to go awry. Like, she's not being businessy enough. She's being too personal. Mm-hmm. And he's uncomfortable with how casual she's being about it all. Like, he knows if this is how things are going. It's not going to go the way they want it to.
But we see this in other movies, too, where the woman is working, doing her job really well, and the person that's far away in the city doesn't exactly get what's happening.
Yeah.
And the person that's actually in the trenches, like Laurel, she is doing a great job. He is misidentifying a way to go about this merger.
Yeah. So that's how their meeting ends. And meanwhile, we get to see the other sponsor of this movie, Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
So Clay is doing a Sirius interview. And that guy, like a real Sirius? I don't know. Yeah.
Looked like a real Sirius Radio studio.
Yeah. And the DJ guy he's talking to. He doesn't seem like an actor. He seems like someone who works in radio. I don't know what that means.
That's insulting.
I think that's, how would you describe him?
Yeah.
If you were playing someone who works in radio, like you're not an actor, you'd seem more like just somebody who works in radio.
True. So I guess that's a thing that people do in radio is invite the concert promoter in to talk about the concert. I guess that's what radio does.
I don't know. Maybe we can find someone who works in radio and ask them.
I mean, I suppose. It seemed weird.
Do we know any radio producers?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird. I was like, why is a promoter on, we're talking about a show? But I guess we do.
Let's go interrupt Steve Bertrand's lunch over there and ask him.
Looks like he's having some soup.
So Laurel meets him there and they catch up more. And we find out that like his family has all, he doesn't really have any family in Memphis anymore either. They've all spread out and moved away. So he doesn't really have anything holding him there. He loves it, but he doesn't have a reason to stay there. And so there's a job opportunity with a bigger company. So he kind of just like runs his own concert promoting company, which is that thing too. I feel like it's all like big corporations that do that. I mean, I guess it could be smaller.
Probably, smaller, independent. Yeah.
He's going to work for one of those big corporations in New York. He's got someone from there is going to come and watch the concert and check it out.
And if it all goes well, he could be getting a promotion to work for a corporation in
New York. Means, you know, more opportunities, more money, less responsibility.
He wouldn't have to do anything. He'd have a team surrounding him.
Taking
to do everything himself.
So Clay takes Laurel and Emma to Graceland and
a private tour.
And they go in.
I
mean, we only see like one room. All right, so while they're at Graceland, Clay tries to talk Laurel into performing together at the Christmas concert
to fill in for the spot that the person who's dropped out.
Yeah, so she's not saying yes, but again, doesn't seem that hard to talk in to it. So they head back to the hotel. We see the exterior again. It was slightly different shots every time, like one or like two people rolling suitcases and walking up, different cars coming up, and they're in their suite and all the breaks. Before, did you notice this? Like before the commercial breaks, it ends with like Kelly Pickler saying some corny line or something happening. This is one of them, and just kind of like she puts Emma to bed and she's just sort of like walking around, and then she just picks up the phone and calls, "This is, you know, Laurel Cooper. What's your policy on Christmas trees?" And then the commercial. Right. Another one later, just like they're like, "Let's do snow angels," and they just do snow angels, and that's the end. Like there's no context for any of it. There's like it just these just little moments, moments that happen.
Did you notice after she asked the policy on Christmas trees in the hotel? Did they go to a Balsam Hill commercial or a fake Christmas tree commercial? We'll have to go back.
On
the follow-up to this one.
I did a lot of fast-forwarding in this one. Commercials, but we'll get to more things that you can fast-forward through.
I fast-forwarded a little bit myself.
So they go to get a tree, and it seemed like all the trees were like looked fake, like they were flocked, but I think it was just because it was supposed to look snowy or something. Mm-hmm. And they pick at a tree, and then there's this whole big spectacle of them like bringing the tree in on like a, what are the cart, like, what, like a bell, like a bellhop cart, and like they're like riding on the cart, and everyone's like in the lobby is like clapping, and the concierge is like pushing them through like a little parade with the Christmas tree. So now it's the next day, and Emma's at Sally's again making crafts, and the boss is checking in, and he says to stay on the offensive, and something could go wrong. And when Laurel drops Emma off at Sally's, she's wearing This is bothering me. Did you notice this? She was wearing like a white turtleneck, a white like polar fleece vest, a white hat, and jeans. She's like very casual. And she drops him off to go to, I don't know what she's working on. She doesn't meet with, I don't know what she's doing. This day she goes to like an antique store to buy a gift for the party that's that soon coming up. But why is she, why does she have to drop, what work does she have to do? I never understood like what was taking so
computer
much
work.
Time.
Things on the computer.
So she's doing work stuff and she has like work clothes on. So we see her like in this outfit, this like snowy white outfit. Then cut to she's wearing like a dress and a coat and like businessy. And then she's then we see her pick up him and she's got the like snowy outfit.
You can change.
But why didn't she have it on that morning? She's going to the meeting. So they go to like a festival. Sally's family and Laurel and Emma, and she's like so happy to be back at the festival. And there's like a lot of things that are like Memphis-y that, again, like maybe I miss. Like this seemed to be like this is a festival that you would know if you lived in Memphis. And was Sally's husband there? Someone said like, don't they have Christmas festivals in Chicago? And she said, yeah, but they can never get the pumpkin pie right. And maybe is Clay there too? Because this is next is when Clay, she and Clay go to Graceland again. So they go back to Graceland.
Separate, but yeah.
And they play the piano. They get to, she gets to play Elvis's piano. And they get into it more. Well, we don't see her playing it, but she's sitting behind the piano and piano music is playing.
Mm-hmm. Player piano.
We never see hands. We never see hands playing the piano. And they talk about what went wrong with their last show. Mm-hmm. And it was that Clay didn't tell her how many people were going to be there. And there were like 3,000 people there. And she got really nervous.
And had to leave the show early, and Clay finished all by himself.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite exactly figure out what the problem was with the relationship.
No. Well, okay, this is another thing, is that I felt no romantic chemistry between the two of them. It was a very, like, they seemed like brother and sister. I could never tell if they had a romantic relationship back in the day, or if they didn't, but just always had feelings for each other. But I never felt... They had good chemistry together, and I guess they kind of flirted, but it never felt romantic. It just like they were good together, but I felt no romantic feelings between the two of them.
Maybe it was just a musical partnership and not a romantic partnership.
But there was always, you know, as we find out in the end, they've always been in love with each other, though. But even in the end, when they kiss, sorry to spoil that, but I didn't feel like any spark between them.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out... Because at some point, he kind of blames her for ending the relationship.
Yeah, but there's never really tension, though.
Did she, after the concert went bad, did she decide to move to Chicago and raise a family? And then there was things about him where he didn't want to be tied down to a family.
It just kind of felt like, all right, this happens, we're done, move on to the next thing. Oh, there you are again.
Is this when they launch into the version of Silent Night?
Yeah, this is the first time I started fast forwarding.
I stuck around for a couple of bars.
Oh, it's insufferable when they sing. I could not handle it. I fast forwarded through all the singing.
Did they sing Silent Night at the end? Is that their main?
They do a mashup at the end.
Oh, is that what it was? Because. Yeah. Silent night, and she does it in her eyes.
In that like twangy twang.
Holy night, holy come. But doesn't he have another part?
They do the mashup, but that's when they're at the fire. That's when they're doing having Christmas s'mores.
Oh yeah,
we'll
yeah.
get to
all right, we'll
the revelation of Christmas s'mores. No, they sing Silent Night, and I did fast forward a lot through the music, so I could have missed something.
I forget what his part was, but I'll get to it. We'll get to it. I'll figure it out. I'll remember.
So Clay...
he's putting more pressure on her, too, after we got this slot. You got to perform. You're great.
Mm-hmm.
Try to rekindle what we had 10 years ago.
So the next day, he's meeting with the woman who might offer him the job in New York, and it's Juliet Barnes's assistant from Nashville. And I was like, oh, they're getting like, oh, that's great. They're giving like those people from Nashville like job. But I was like, wait, this is Memphis. This is Nashville.
Well, similar southern cities that are music focused.
And I felt like I feel like Laurel Cooper has kind of a Juliet, when Juliet Barnes was like nice feel mm-hmm. to her.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just like a little too perfect yeah. to have this person in it.
He talks about how somebody dropped out.
Yeah, the winter storm is coming.
Possibly going to hit.
It looks beautiful out, but there's a winter storm coming. And yeah, so they talk about like the possibility of him leaving Memphis. And Laurel goes to the party at the Franklin's
house.
And Mr. Franklin opens the door and takes her coat, but they do have some work talk, and they, you know, there's some business about streamlining, and that he's like, it's just the same conversation they've already had, that he doesn't want to cut jobs, and she's like, don't worry about it. I'll find some other way to make it work.
One of the things they in the proposal is the Chicago Bank wants to eliminate redundancy.
Yeah.
And he thinks that's vague. You know, he doesn't know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
But
it seems
he knows
pretty
that
straightforward
that jobs are gonna go. Again, though, at the Christmas party, why is she there? Why is she there? Or is this a hardball move by the head of the company?
Well, they're all in the living room, and they're playing a spirited game of pin the nose on the reindeer.
Yeah, that's right.
And everyone's like cheering and like whooping it up. And they exchange gifts and the same thing. Like everyone's just like crammed in the, like together in a, it's like this huge house. And everyone's like pushed together around a sofa and like cheering.
Laurel wins.
She does.
Is that a thing?
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. I'm sure it must exist.
And it's the gift exchange, and they give her a reindeer wallet or something. And
yeah,
then,
reindeer wallet.
And he's like, it's as good as a savings account or something. Okay. And she gives them an old photo that she bought at the antique store of like the street where his bank is. And then Sally's gone in with some markers and like added some color to it. Crafty Sally.
But that's a really thoughtful gift.
It is. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, her Chicago boss checks in again. And he's like, you know, why are you at this party? You need to wrap this up. The longer we take, the less of a chance we have of this happening, and we need this for our some year-end thing, whatever tax thing, by the end of the year.
Laurel explains to him, though, that family and jobs and keeping this close-knit bank together is the most important. It's not about the money. Mm-hmm. It's not about the money for him.
And he's like, oh, it's always about the money.
It's always about the money, yeah.
Like, the boss in Chicago doesn't understand. Like, Laurel understands the, like, folksiness of it, and she's playing up into that, and the boss is like messing everything up by being just like corporate,
which is annoying because they sent her down to do the exact job she was perfect for, and he's meddling, getting everything wrong.
Yeah, you're totally right. So she's back at the hotel, and she and Emma are making something called Christmas s'mores in, like, there's like a fire pit. Have you ever heard of Christmas s'mores?
No, I don't think I have.
We are making Christmas s'mores. They're s'mores.
Okay.
But peppermint chocolate is the difference. That's genius.
Yeah. Can we go now? Sounds delicious.
And the crazy concierge comes over and asks Emma if she wants, they're going to read the night before Christmas, if Emma wants to go over there. So that gives, you know, perfect opportunity for Laurel to still alone and Clay to show
songs,
up.
Yeah.
And
I think Emma continues a long line of terrible Hallmark kid actors.
She's bad. Yeah. There's so much bad acting in this, though. Like, she's not as bad as Kelly Pickler's worse than Emma.
And not as bad as the boss.
Yeah.
Or his wife is pretty bad too, Glinda. I'm going to look it up because I think they're really bankers. They're Memphis bankers. They're not actors at all.
Yeah, Emma makes weird facial expressions a lot, and this is just a really terrible one.
So Clay shows up with a guitar.
Yeah. And he's got like something in his hand we can't see. And this is when they sing. This is when they like come up with the mashup idea.
Oh, okay. Of Silent Night.
And a non-religious song was the other one, like
At the end party, Joy to the World.
I fast forwarded. So sure. And the other thing he's brought, he's like, oh, look at this. What am I sitting on? It's the program for the concert, and it mentions that she's performing.
Yeah, that's a bold move from Clay, I felt. Because she hasn't committed 100% to performing at all.
Yeah.
And he's already included her in the program.
But they laugh about it, and we get some like kind of corny smiles, and then it cuts to the commercial. And that's when there was a commercial for Reunited at Christmas, and I was sad. Then they're decorating the tree in the room, and the concierge brings them some decorations, and they make garland out of out of microwave popcorn in the hotel sewing kit. And she talks about how she's ready to take a chance.
Yep.
And he says that Sally's making a poster. Of course she is. Mm-hmm. And because Sally's making the poster, Clay has to babysit the next day, too.
Laurel asks Clay why he is so interested in getting their duo back together. And he says that he's not ready to give up the past. Romantically, too?
Yeah, I don't...
Because he even says, during this point, he talks about never wanting to be tied down with family.
Yeah.
It's kind of a new move for Clay to be so nice to the daughter. But then he's also not ready to give up the
past.
Yeah,
he's really nice to Emma. Like, goes out of his way to be nice to her. So, it's like he's auditioning.
And he talks to Laurel about performing, and Laurel says that she knows that Emma has trouble being in front of people, and she wants to teach her daughter to be fearless. Mm-hmm. So that's why she is coming around to performing.
But we never get, like, in other Hallmark movies where you get, like, romantic feelings between them, or, like, you know, where she would, like, trip and fall into his arms, mm-hmm. or, like, they would almost kiss, or, you know, like, there's, you
that
never...
happened, like, they almost kissed at one point.
And you just never feel, again, like, you never feel any kind of romantic feeling between them. So he has to babysit the next day. So he goes over to Sally's to babysit Emma and Sally's daughter. And they have what happens next?
The classic Hallmark snowball fight to a montage of Elvis songs. I don't even know if it was Elvis songs, but they were playing.
Yeah, Laurel, like, turns around to go to her car because she's got to go to a big meeting and gets hit in the back with a snowball. And she turns around like she's mad, but instead she picks up a snowball and throws it.
I didn't realize Memphis got that much snow.
Well,
like, enough snow to build snowmen. Yeah. There are snowmen, and
I think it does.
Yeah, it's not the Deep South.
Yeah.
But
she's in a meeting at the bank, and her boss is, like, you know, fed up with her, so he's stepping in and he's, like, Skyping in, and she's got a laptop open to, like, to have the presentation, and said it's like a picture of, like, she opens up the PowerPoint and it's a photo of her and Emma. And you can tell Mr. Franklin, like,
he
thinks
liked
that's,
that. Yeah,
he likes that. Yeah.
And it's funny, when that happened, I was like, come on, in this day and age, you're doing a presentation and, like, oh, I'm sorry, a personal photo showed up.
Yeah.
But just today we were doing a presentation. Todd, our boss, was doing a presentation, a really nice presentation at one of our meetings. And at the end, it was his family looking at an eclipse. It was a really cute photo. So it does. Yes, it does. It does happen.
But the bigger problem is that she's very distracted, and, like, she gets Sally sends her a photo of, like, Clay's on the phone at one point trying to take care of concert business, and they throw a snowball at him, and Sally gets a photo of it and sends that to Laurel, and she starts laughing, and the boss is like, you know, she doesn't have the answers for him right away,
or
the
right answer.
She's fumbling and she's laughing at the photo, and we see Mr. Franklin, like, smiling, like, he likes this. So Laurel goes to pick up Emma at Sally's house, and they've made a hot cocoa stand. Is that a thing?
I think so.
Like a lemonade stand, but hot cocoa. They have lots of activities and lots of crafts. When I was little, I had, like, we were, like, a bunch of cousins, but there was, like, me, my brother, and my cousin Katie, and I were all, like, around the same age. Mm-hmm. And then there was, like, another group that came later. And Katie would stay with us a lot. And I was, like, a couple years older than Bill and Katie. And we went to a school that had, like, a lot of, like, crafts and stations and things like that. So, like, I would be their teacher and I would, like, make them do these things, and they hated it. And I still get, like, I still get grief about it. And I don't feel like I should be responsible for the things that I did when I was, like, 7.
No, I think there should be a statute
for that kind of thing, for making crafts. And I think there's some things you could be held accountable for, but not making your cousin do crafts. So I kind of felt, like, uncomfortable with this, like, I'm making fun of this, but this is totally what I did. Actually, you know what? This is where the wardrobe change was. It was this day. She dropped him off in the morning when they had the snowball fight, and she was wearing, like, the white outfit. And then she went to her meeting and was dressed up. And then when she came back to pick him up, she was wearing, like, the snowball. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Still weird, but I'm sorry for getting the day wrong. And they flop down and do snow angels.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's time for snow angels. And then it goes to commercial.
And there's also a lot of talk about how Memphis has big houses and big yards. And you can really sense that Laurel is missing.
Yeah. that space.
The space, or yeah, just
the like
being home.
More cat. Yeah, it's more laid back and being in the South. So Laurel and Emma, they talk about, Laurel tells Emma about the Bad Last concert, and they look through like a photo album. And so that's what happened at the end of the meeting. The presentation was that Mr. Franklin was like, oh, I still need to figure this out. Redundancy, streamlining. She's like, I can try to find a way to cut costs so we don't have to cut jobs, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, let's just go ice skating. So he invites her now to, they've rented out an ice rink. Yeah. And I was like, I'm sure it's an indoor ice rink. So they've rented out an ice rink, and all the bank employees are going to go. So he invites Laurel to go. Okay, so Clay shows up, and he's like, there's something I want to do. There's something I want to show you. And she's like, but we have to go ice skating. He's like, but I want to do this first. And what they do, this is the weirdest part of this movie, where they go caroling. Mm-hmm. So they just stand in front. They didn't know these people. They just went and stood in front of, I mean, I guess this is what caroling is.
Yeah.
But they just went and stood in front of some stranger's house, like knocked on the door and sang, just like the three of them.
Yeah.
It made me so uncomfortable.
Me and Mike Boyle, when we were from like fifth through eighth grade, fourth through eighth grade, me and Mike Boyle would go to our neighbor's houses, just the two of us.
But did you know them?
No.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It was like cold calling, actually, because you're hoping.
Were the people like super uncomfortable with it?
Well, there were
like
a couple of
standing there, and you're like, oh gosh.
There were a couple of door slams, sure, but you get over it, because what it is you'd put out your hat, and they would give you a couple. It was you know, just to get a couple of extra. But my side hustle when I was in fifth grade, or I guess my only hustle probably at that point. But yeah, we would, and like during Christmas,
really
like a couple of nights, me and Mike Boyle would go to like neighbors' houses.
That's
and
amazing.
Sing Christmas carols.
But I'm not going to say that it's common. No. I think this is weird, and your story is weird too.
And I remember people coming over and more professional people, a group of four, and maybe dressed up in matching scarves or what have you.
Yeah.
Me and Mike Boyle were to be in our winter coats with our face masks on because and then put out our hat hoping to get a dollar.
That's really weird.
So no, I didn't, like, when I saw the Christmas they.
It's uncomfortable.
It would be weird to get, because she was, were they singing Silent Night again?
It was another religious.
They were really professional singers.
Yeah.
That would be odd for her.
So it goes on for a really long time. And I don't think I fast forwarded through this. I watched it just because it was so uncomfortable. Like the two of them, like looking at each other, singing, and then the people, like the couple looking, it goes on for so long.
I do remember people coming to our house and doing it and not being uncomfortable, but it's winter and it's cold and your door open, you're out.
Nobody
there
come carol at our house, please. I like a lot of Christmas things, but I can live without that. Our dogs are just trying to jump on you. Yeah,
I just remember being cold watching the carolers.
And Emma's like shy and nervous at first, but then she starts singing. She's coming out of her shell.
Yeah.
All right, so they go skating. It is indoors. Sally's there. And so they're kind of trying to convince us that it's like romantic between.
That's where they had their first date.
Yeah, yeah. And she talks with Mr. Franklin. It's just the same stuff. Streamlining, redundancy, da-da-da. And he asks her if she likes her job and likes Chicago. So we kind of get a feeling that he is, this is really what you want to be doing? Are you happy? Mm-hmm. Working there, and you know, like, do you like this whole like slick corporate environment?
Yeah.
That, you know, you're a Memphis girl. It doesn't seem like, you know, you like slaw on the side. Like, it doesn't seem like, you know, you're seen. So they're back at we see the exterior of the hotel again. They're back at the hotel, and she's playing the piano and she's singing Silent Night, Silent Night.
Go sing the rest of the song, or as much as you can. Can you?
Why?
I'm gonna look up the lyrics for a second, because
they changed the lyrics.
No, I don't think they changed the
lyrics. I fast forwarded. So Emma joins in and sings along with her, and Laurel's looking lovingly at like at the selfie that she took of all of them at ice skating, and Clay's back at Graceland and he's doing the same thing. So more product placement, whatever her car was, like the Buick or whatever, that they do a lot of shots like of that car for a long time right in the middle. So she's pulled back up at Sally's in that car. And now they're making cookies and she's got some work to do. And Sally's like, you need a, you know, even though you're on a work trip, you need to take the time to like just make cookies and enjoy the holidays and stop working so much. And she's like, maybe you want to go for a walk and maybe you want to check out the house that's decorated across the street that happens to have the for sale sign.
Yeah, Sally's putting the pressure on Laurel to possibly move back to Memphis.
Yeah. So she, so Clay's having a lot of issues with the concert and Laurel's going to go and rehearse with Clay. And so Sally gives Laurel a tin of cookies to take to him. And so she sits down with Clay and he's talking about his issues and he eats the whole tin of cookies. He's like, I was so hungry. And just like tosses the tin over his shoulder. And she mentions that, you know, like, yeah, maybe he asks her like how things are going. And she mentions like, hey, if this acquisition goes through, I'm going to ask for, maybe I'll ask for a transfer to Memphis. And I wrote, are they a couple?
So, yeah.
So now, like, are they a couple?
Yeah, I don't think they're officially a couple. I mean, they came at the ice rink. There was a moment there where they were close to kissing and then Emma came up to distract Clay or something.
Yeah.
There was romantic feelings arisen.
So her boss calls and he wants her back in Chicago and he mentions that somebody in HR,
Helen in finance
saw on the website that she was in the concert.
Helen in finance, like, is she,
what does that mean?
She hates Laurel.
He could have just said like saw on Facebook or something, like on the website, like what's she doing, like snooping around?
I feel like Helen doesn't like Laurel. It's like, what is she doing? I'm mad, you know. She's perhaps could have been down there. What's Laurel getting to do in Memphis? Oh, let me snoop her. Oh my God, she's on this. I'm going to go tell the boss.
So, you know, he thinks like she's not taking her work seriously enough. She's like distracted by this and he feels like she's not getting it done. So he just wants her to come back to Chicago night or the next day.
He's spoken with her a few times through this saying, no, I don't like these counter proposals. There's no forced retirement. There's no layoffs. You know, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So this is the 23rd. And the next day is the 24th. Yeah. So just let her stay through. I mean, you've still got another week before the end of the year. Just let her stay through Christmas and then come back.
This is his boss move where he says, you got to show him. If you leave.
It's like buying a car with my dad where you just like walk out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You don't say anything. You just walk out.
It's the power move.
So she's sad and dejected.
Is that how business works? I don't know how business works.
Or negotiating. So she goes to the Franklin's house to say goodbye and to tell him, like, you know, she's heading back to Chicago. She's sad that it's not working out. And, you know, they say like, yeah, it's just not right. For us, we would rather not make the money from this than have to cut all these jobs. Yeah.
Jobs.
And he takes her into some room where there's a bad painting. What is up with these bad paintings? It's a really lame painting of a cypress tree. And some cypress tree business and da da da.
Name of the bank, grandfather. Yeah.
Some real boring story about how the grandfather planted the tree and everyone told him to cut it down. They never did. It meant it was some allegory for what was happening.
About family and staying together.
Yep. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see more Elvis-y Graceland stuff. Who cares about the cypress tree? And they give her, they like, he and his wife have a gift for her, and it's some barbecue sauce with slaw on the side. And she has a gift for them, for him, and it's her presentation, her like about cost cutting
business plan.
Ideas.
Mm-hmm. And above and beyond. She went above and beyond.
Yeah. So Emma's sad, and they tell Clay, and Clay is mad that she's backing out at the last minute.
Is history repeating itself? And I was like, what does that mean?
You forced her into doing this. She's not here for this. She's doing you a favor. She's here for work. Like, she obviously, I'm sure she doesn't want to leave. Like, be compassionate about this.
Yeah, he was being a real jerk.
Yeah.
Emma I said goodbye.
Well, she gets these weird flashes of like memories from like scenes from the movie.
That's right. Yeah, from early, just 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
And Emma's really sad to leave the concierge.
You knew you were waiting for Blue Christmas. I was waiting for Blue Christmas all movie. Yeah. And I finally got it when she's sad about leaving.
See the exterior of the hotel and Blue Christmas. I guess they flew, but they're driving to the airport?
Yeah, they're driving to the airport because because I thought the same thing that they drove.
She talks about the drive, car, but then they talk about flying,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's a moment in the beginning where they show the plane landing in Memphis and then the car to Sally's house.
So the concert's happening, and are these real people?
Yeah, are they famous singers?
There's another one that's good that has a lot of Texas musicians, and the one with Lyle Lovett.
Yeah,
it's a really good one.
Willie Nelson and Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah, and Connie Britton's in it. Yeah. There's a lot of real musicians in that one. And so I wondered the same thing. Like, are these local? It felt like that. Like these were like local Memphis musicians performing too. And with the serious guy is there, and it's a success, and no storm, the weather's perfect. So Laurel, you know, we see Laurel's driving to the airport, but then she tells Emma, like, she gets, you know, she's had those flashes of memory, and she's like, we're going to make a stop. So now it's back to the concert, and Clay goes, was like on the side of the stage, and here's Laurel all like gussied up.
So all these musicians are playing and have been playing their songs. And then so Laurel shows up. But then is Laurel the headliner?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden she's the headliner.
Yeah.
It's just not an open slot. It was like, hey, the headliner.
Yeah.
That should have been what he said. The headliner has dropped out. You're going to be the headliner.
The time is questionable too, because I think their flight was at 4:00. So it had to have been like 2:00 when they've got to take their rental car and check bags and stuff. So it's got to be like 2:00. And all of a sudden she says she got ready in the car and it's the concert. That didn't really
match up
either. Yeah. So They perform their mashup.
Silent Night mashup.
Yeah. So it's her doing the silent, or Joy to the World or something.
They sing Joy to the, when they kick things up Memphis style.
Oh, that's when, okay. The mashup is Silent Night plus like Jingle Bells or Santa Claus is Coming to Town, something like that.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
Okay.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin mother and child.
Even stoplights blinking bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures.
So after they sing this song, then they do Joy to the World. They kick it up Memphis style. Put some barbecue sauce on it. And backup singers come in. They never rehearsed or anything. They always got distracted by s'mores or something.
Yeah, everybody was going ape for it, though.
Yeah,
and the
Franklins
boss
are there.
Yeah, the boss of the Memphis branch.
And the woman who's going to get him the job. And Emma comes up, joins
she
in.
Sings too.
I could tell this as I was fast-forwarding on like 3. I wasn't all the way at like the lightning thing or 4. I could tell that
so
Emma came up.
Yeah, you saw. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a big success. And after it's over, Mr. Franklin approaches her and offers her a job.
Mm-hmm. She says the pay is probably not as great, but we don't work weekends. We're home by 5 to be with our families every day.
And the woman from New York approaches Clay and offers him the job too, but he meets up with Laurel and says he's decided that he's not going to take that job. She is going to take this job. They're going to be in Memphis together, and they kiss.
And then it starts snowing, and they say, oh, the blizzard even held off.
Yeah.
But it was flurries.
And like they say, I love you, but it just feels like just platonic. It doesn't, you don't get a great romantic chemistry from them.
And then he says, and then I booked you for a New Year's Eve gig. So I feel he's just taking advantage of her. He had nothing really going on, missed performing with her in the past, and was like, how do I get her back? He was just kind of using her talent to start getting more gigs again.
Yeah. All right. We've gone on way too long about this terrible movie. Let's do naughty and nice. So I'll do naughty. Do you have a nice?
nice, I would have to say, the new revelation, Christmas s'mores.
Yep, we're definitely adding that to our Christmas list. And naughty caroling. It's just so, it's just everything bad about this movie wrapped up into one thing. That's it for another episode of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I'm Molly.
I'm Pete.
Make sure to go to iTunes and rate and review us. We'd love a 5-star review. See you next week.